Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The president giving a very brief speech yesterday, reading what was written for him and doing so without stumbling for the most part and only coughing a few times. But the president finally out in public addressing the conflict and the crisis going on college campuses. I don't typically like to call something a crisis until it really is, but I think by any objective measure, what's going on college campuses with these protests and clashes with the police and with people who are in favor of Israel and the intimidation of students and the destruction of property and the arrests that have been made. I read a report that said that over 2,000 arrests have been made so far. And of course, what, more than 100, or was it, maybe it was 200 at UCLA overnight not last night, but the night before that. So the president finally speaking on this at long last.
We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But, neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very on-point speech. It wasn't very long. It was like 4 minutes long, but everything he said in the speech, I agreed with. He said it clearly, forcefully, finding the right balance between allowing dissent, of course, speech, protest, disagreement, of course, key American values. And yet, when you start to destroy property or, you know, violate other people's rights or become an impediment to their ability to get an education, then, yeah, we're going to break that up because that's an unlawful assembly and that is a violation of the law. It's interesting to read the reactions to this because, there are people like me who think, you know, correct. There are people on the left who have historically embraced rebellion who think, how dare you, you fascist. I'm like, fascist? He is in favor of protest? He's saying do it peacefully? That's a good thing? I don't think there's anything out of character for that. You can't exactly tag Joe Biden as being the, you know, Saul Alinsky revolutionary. I mean, you can apply that more to Obama, if anything, but you can't really lay that at Joe Biden's feet. The worst you can really say is that he didn't do enough soon enough on this topic. But you can't look at the speech itself other than saying that it's a little bit too late in the process. But you can't disagree with what he said. It's just accurate.
So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law.
Yeah. What'd you say during the George Floyd protest? Same issue. Peaceful protest, great. Blocking traffic, not great. Having your say, getting together, making the world listen, awesome. Destroying property or creating a autonomous zone in the middle of Seattle, not awesome.
Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law.
Again, this is a speech I would have given. He's exactly right.
Dissent is essential to democracy. But dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education.
What's fascinating, again, is to read the kind of the perspective of the people who disagree with him about this is, you know, and they're, you know, the allegation is that he's saying what every authoritarian dictator would say. Well, okay, but did the authoritarian dictator respond to a violent, vandalistic, intimidation, and destruction of private property protest? Or did the dictator respond to a guy holding a couple of grocery bags standing in the middle of a massive public square trying to thwart tanks from coming in and killing people? You know, it kind of depends on what the nature of the protest is. If you're calling for order when there's violence and destruction of property and the prevention of a school from doing its core mission of educating people, then you're calling for order when order needs to be restored. If you're calling for order when people are peacefully assembling and expressing their frustration with the system that represses their rights, order is in the offing to be restored by those people. And so it's not this all or nothing thing that if you want to have order, you're therefore a dictator. I mean, there's a kind of a weird position for the critics to take, right?
Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos.
Correct. I mean, little bit of chaos. Right, a little bit of, I mean, every protest is going to kind of push up toward the edge. And I think you protect ordinary good speech by giving a little bit of leeway. You know, when you start to become a little uncomfortable about the nature of the march, the rally, the what, you know, that's okay. But this was well beyond that and has been well. And there are college campuses, I'm sure. I haven't been to all of the different ones to watch them in person. I'm sure there are college campus protests where I would say, that's fine. They're doing it right. No need to interfere. Don't send in the police. Obviously, there are other ones where you look at it like, we're going to have to put a stop to that. That's not going to happen anymore. And so it's not the kind of thing where you can say, well, they're demonstrating against Israel, therefore clear them out. But again, if they're destroying public property, engaging in vandalism, intimidating students who are trying to go to class, creating an environment on a college campus where Jewish students don't feel like they're even safe to go through the campus that they're paying to attend, yeah, I mean, you got to put a stop to that.
People have the right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked. But let's be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America, for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American.
This is the one part I disagree with him on. And I'm going to disagree with him by defending people that I despise. There is place for hate speech in America. It's what the First Amendment protects. The First Amendment protects really obnoxious things. And the reason you protect really obnoxious things, disgusting, wicked, ignorant things, is because, like, protecting the protest that's kind of at the edge of where you're uncomfortable, is because that's how you make sure you protect all the good protests. And the reason you protect awful speech, hateful speech, mean, bigoted, ignorant speech, is for two reasons. Number one, that's how you know you're protecting all the good speech, all the speech that needs to, because, you know, the system will always try to thwart whatever threatens it. And so dissent, disagreement, criticism, especially of public officials, you know, that's what you want to protect, right? The other reason is because we live in a society right now where we have for years been defining historically normal viewpoints about all kinds of things that are related to religion and or religious ethics, like related to sexuality and reproduction, that have begun to be classified as hate speech. And so when the president says there's no room for hate and he says we don't want to allow anti-Semitism, of course I'm with him. I'm cautious about restricting it with the law. He says you don't want to have anti-Muslim or anti-Arab sentiment. Of course I agree with him. I'm cautious about restricting it with the law. My concern is when he says things like we can't have hate speech because I know, for example, that if you criticize the LGBT agenda, that can be classified, according to some people, as hate speech. But that is core protected First Amendment speech, but we live in a time where we've kind of forgotten what's supposed to be protected by the First Amendment. And so that's where I get a little bit uncomfortable with the way he's saying this. But generally speaking, I thought it was a very good speech right up until the end when he, you know, I don't have any more script. I'm going to answer questions while I'm slowly walking away towards the door.
Mr. President, have the protests forced you to reconsider any of the policies with regard to the region?
No. Thank
you. Mr. President, do you think the National Guard should intervene?
No.
Mr. President, do you agree with what the students are calling for?
And Biden out.
Well, it seems like the president is not taking questions right now.
I would have liked to have a little bit more answer to some of that. The one criticism I do have for the president, well, two criticisms. One is, again, this speech was about 2 days to 3 days too late. It would have been nice to have it earlier. The speech was 99% on point. I would have liked to have the president say more. But let me take the position of administration official. You don't really want Biden winging it because we can't trust him to wing it because he's not mentally fully where the president ought to be. And so we don't want to have him flub this and say something stupid. That's a very understandable perspective. Unfortunately, if that's true, then probably this is the guy who shouldn't be, you know, leading the nation. It's kind of like the, well, we can't prosecute for these charges because the jury would never convict a semi-senile old man who's doddering and trying to do the right thing, by which you'd say, well, then he shouldn't be the guy leading the country. So in this situation, I think what the country really would have benefited from would have been a president who you can trust to take questions and who would be able to interact and respond to things and explain more, and spend some time, rather than just the 3.5-4 minute canned speech, which, again, was very, very good. So, if I have a criticism, that's it. But in the overall scheme, I think, yes, very effective yesterday. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are considering the prospect of selling a house, or buying a house, or doing both, or, you know, getting an extra house for a rental, or whatever, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they're just fantastic at this process. They understand the ins and outs, the market, the nuances of what different price tiers you're working in. You know, they'll be able to look at your house and say, oh, you love that part of your house? Yeah, yeah. Nobody else will fix it. Unless you don't want to spend $200 to get $3,000 more out of your house sale price. Like, that's the kind of stuff that they'll tell you because they know, okay? They sold 175 homes last year. That's okay. 3.5 a week. They're doing okay at figuring out how to do these transactions and get you the most result for what you want to do for selling your house. Same thing for buying. They know what the market will bear, and they know what people will demand, and so they know what they can negotiate and what they can't, what the right offer is, even on new builds. She can get you deals on new builds. It's kind of amazing. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource center.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Where is Owen?
Owen went bowling.
I want Owen!
He'll be back in a minute.
I want my bath! I want my medicine!
I can get it for you.
Oh, man, I tell you, I've been in the process of going back and listening to all the U2 albums that I didn't already own. And, man, this is one that doesn't disappoint. Just, you know, this is a discography that, man, it's just, you know, some artists, they kind of have their two albums that are good, you know, out of the 15 they've made. U2 has their, like, 15 that are good out of their 15 that they've made. You know, that's the kind of band they are. 527 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The second week of testimony in former President Trump's trial in New York wraps up today. More testimony will be heard from former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs yesterday signed the repeal of the state's Civil War era abortion law. Two Republicans joined with Democrats in the Arizona Senate Wednesday to repeal the law, which had been upheld by the state's Supreme Court last month. And another Boeing whistleblower has died after a brief illness. Joshua Dean was a quality inspector for Spirit AeroSystems, a Boeing supplier. According to Fox News, his family says he died from an infection that put him in critical condition for several days. Dean had lost his job in 2023 and filed a federal retaliation complaint saying he was fired for reporting dangerous issues in components.
So I'm pretty reluctant to draw conclusions from a pattern of whistleblowers dying against a major American corporation. I'll just say it like that.
Yeah, I think really that's all that can be said.
I'll just say it right like that. I'm pretty reluctant to draw these kind of conclusions because, you know, we know that in other countries when you criticize, for example, you know, the president of Russia, that you suddenly have the desire to jump out of a hotel window over and over and over again. And we all infer from that that, let's just say, it wasn't a voluntary hotel window departure. And so I'm not one that talks about, you know, Epstein and what happened to him. I just, you know, pretty reluctant to draw these conclusions. There you go. That's what I'm going to say.
Well put. Well put, sir.
Was that it, sir? Was that your third one?
Yeah, that's all right, I got for right good. Now.
Just leave it right there, I think. David, thanks so much for the update. Marilyn Monroe did indeed have an affair with JFK. I mean, I don't know that anybody doubted it exactly, but there's a guy who was like a longtime investigative detective, and he's died, and apparently there's a book coming out with him, and he had all kinds of wiretaps, had wiretapped her apartment and stuff, and says, oh, yeah, no, this is for sure, 100%. Like, had it on tape. Then the tapes got seized or taken by the FBI at some point in the past. Said, oh, yeah, and not just Marilyn Monroe, but Jane Mansfield, too, and lots of other people. Oh, yeah, sure, the president was a massive philanderer. Which, again, is not news. I mean, nobody really doubted that that was the case. But, you know, it's kind of interesting after sort of all of these years, about as close as you can get to really having the you know, really having the goods, I guess. So if you were ever wondering whether the rumors were true, now I guess we know. Oh, and the wealthy white people of Baton Rouge have gotten permission to secede from Baton Rouge. Not kidding, for real. The court said you guys can leave and take your money with you.
Fox News, MCJ pop up. Plenty of arrests nationwide linked to the college protests while universities are trying to tamp down the situation.
Protesters at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey have begun taking down their tents after the university gave in to some of their demands. It's an attempt to bring things back to normal, even though final exams were postponed Thursday because of the protests. Schools nationwide are trying to regain control after days of demonstrations.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the worst flooding since Hurricane Harvey in 2017 in the Houston area.
I have signed a disaster declaration for Harris County effective immediately.
That's a Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo. Evacuation orders for people living around rivers in southeast Texas. Torrential rains flooding the area. More rain in the forecast today. And day 11 criminal trial. Former President Trump picks up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio, Pensacola. It is 70 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Century's mayor standing up for the town and also for its water quality.
The water was never contaminated. There were some issues with sampling, record keeping. So therefore, that made it appear that the water was not safe, but the water has never been contaminated in the town of Century.
That's Luis Gomez Jr. He talked with Channel 3 following allegations from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection that the town's water hadn't been tested for over 30 contaminants in a year. According to the letter, some of those contaminants included inorganic cyanide, foaming agents, synthetic organic compounds. The DEP said Century now has 2 weeks to respond to the allegations, and the town will have to issue a public notice to its water customers. Florida has joined half of the states in the U.S. with a new law signed by Governor DeSantis today that allows credit unions to become qualified public depositories, meaning they could receive municipal funds for deposit.
Credit unions like the ones here today will be able to hold up to 7% of all funds in the state treasury and 7% of all public deposits of any state university or community college.
DeSantis says that new law, which goes into effect in July, will protect Floridians from the environmental, social, and corporate governance movement. He says ESG is an effort to inject woke political ideology across the financial sector. Base officials at NAS Pensacola say the areas typically accessible to the public are going to be closed for a few days next week. The installation will be closed for public visitation from Tuesday, May 7th through Thursday, May 9th. That will include the National Naval Aviation Museum, the Lighthouse, Fort Barrancas, and viewing the Blue Angels practice flights. The base's West Gate will only be open to DOD cardholders for those days. The Westgate will reopen to the public on Friday, May 10th at 9 a.m. No reason was given for the changes. About a dozen people now facing charges after a pro-Palestine protest in Jacksonville. The arrests were made last night at the University of North Florida after the protesters violated a curfew. First Coast News reports between 10 and 15 people were arrested by campus police and the sheriff's office. No violence was reported. It's 5:34. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. On Saturday, high near 84 with partly cloudy skies. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. We're going to round out the weekend with some beautiful weather, mostly sunny skies, high near 84. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 73 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now.
The jobs report is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time today, and job growth is expected to have slowed but still post solid numbers for last month. Economists also expect wages to maintain their steady rise. The Labor Department's closely watched employment report is also expected to show the unemployment rate stayed below 4% for the 27th straight month. The Fed yesterday held interest rates steady, ranging between 5.25% to 5.5%, because the central bank still needs more evidence that the worst of inflation is behind us. The Pittsburgh Penguins have let more than two dozen front office employees go. The staff reduction comes nearly 2.5 years after the Fenway Sports Group took over as owners of the Penguins. According to a study conducted by the Post-Gazette, the Penguins ranked as the third most popular team in the NHL behind the Chicago Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins. Futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
This ad furnish.
Got a bug problem? Or worse, a rodent situation? Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's E-N-S-E-C.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, 5:38 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had our Thursday opportunity to talk with Mike Wood, the public information officer from the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So we have a missing person that I think is still active. Is that right?
Yeah, his name is Alexander Cook, and he's potentially endangered. He suffers from developmental disabilities as well as delusions, and he may be having suicidal thoughts. He was last seen in the Crestview area in North Okaloosa in the hospital where he was driving a Ford pickup that belonged to him. It was towed, so now we believe him to be on foot somewhere, possibly in that area. So he's a white male that's 5'10", about 200 pounds, with blonde hair and green eyes, and he's last seen wearing a dark gray hoodie with white writing on the back. So we encourage anybody, especially in the Okaloosa and Walton area, if they are to see him, to contact law enforcement.
And so on the note that you guys had put out the other day, it had indicated last seen at Baptist on the 30th. This is subsequent to that?
Yes, this was yesterday afternoon about noon is when he was spotted in Crestview.
And he has the mark that I thought was notable was he has tattoos on his left forearm, a black rooster and a cow skull. You know, because otherwise he could look like, you know, basically, you know, any mid-20s something, you know, of his about, you know, height or age or whatever. And I thought that was helpful as well. So this is a concerning case, obviously, when somebody might be risking self-harm. He's also got, what, religious delusions, too? Is that right?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's currently referring to himself as Chris or Jesus Christ and things of that nature. So this is something that that can be very concerning. And, you know, we want to get a hold of him for his own safety and get him the help that he needs.
Absolutely. And so, you know, just be aware, keep your eyes open, especially if you're headed into the vicinity east of us to Okaloosa or Walton County, that kind of vicinity. There was a, you had one incident happen here locally. What was it, an armed robbery at a convenience store? Is that right?
Yeah, that was Saturday night at the convenience store on the southeast corner of Pace and Garden. An individual walked in there with a black and silver handgun, demanded money, and got a small amount of cash and left on foot. And he was traveling eastbound on foot. And so we're still working on that one and hope that somebody can give us a call, give Crime Stoppers a call with any information on that armed robbery.
Wow, that's very concerning, obviously. So, okay. And then there was a story that happened elsewhere, but I know, you know, you obviously pay a lot of attention to the news, and certainly this is a big enough story that, you know, even people who pay only casual attention, certainly law enforcement officers saw this. You had three officers got killed serving a warrant in North Carolina, five others wounded in a shootout that when I started to read the details of how this happened, I mean, it would be bad enough to have three officers killed. But the way this all happened was very concerning for first responders, special weapons and tactics folks, and, you know, basically your officers anytime they're showing up to an active shooter or even a concern about somebody who's got a gun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be a dangerous situation, and it really doesn't matter what the warrant's for. A lot of times it can be a forgery case and can turn into something deadly. But these high-risk warrants, that when we know we're going in after someone who is armed, who has a history of violence and using firearms, then we're going to go in heavy-handed, and that's just what we do. And a lot of times law enforcement receives criticism for that. They receive criticism for being too militaristic and having military-type weapons, military-type they call them tanks, but they're actually Bearcats, or they're vehicles that officers need to keep themselves safe. And we have one of those on the way for the Pensacola Police Department. The Sheriff's Department's been very, very kind to us in the past, letting us use theirs when the need arises. So this is a perfect example of why law enforcement has to go in heavy-handed like that, because we have to be able to meet or exceed what is being used against us in order to stay safe.
And in this case, for people who might not know the details, you had a warrant, Marshall's Task Force serving a warrant for a felon wanted for possessing a firearm, and they go in and they wound up in a shootout with the guy, and he gets killed on the front lawn. So as they then approach him on the front lawn, somebody from inside the house opens fire on a second person, opens fire on them with a high-powered rifle, which they later found in the house. They're not quite sure who did it, but that's who wound up killing the three officers and injuring several others, because they were, I mean, you know, from an elevated window in the home and a high-powered rifle, they were sitting ducks on the lawn is what happened, right?
Yeah, you know, a scene is not clear, is not cold until the building, the home, whatever the situation is cleared by law enforcement. So, again, we get some criticism on that, too. Why did you wait so long? Why did you still, you know, you shot the man, he's laying in the yard dead, but yet you're still surrounding the house, you're acting like there's a lot of people in there. Yeah, one person can do a lot of damage, as you saw. We also have to be aware that people could come up from the back, from the outside, someone could drive up on the scene that's against us, that could always open fire on us. So these are situations, these are thoughts, and that we put that we rely on, or we use in, during training scenarios for situations such as this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a reminder of, you know, how you guys have been in favor of the law signed by Governor DeSantis for the 25-foot perimeter. There's a reason for that, but also just it kind of reminds me of the double bombing kind of thing that you had seen, where there would be, you know, one bomb would go off, but that would be to entice first responders in so that a second could really hurt people. It seems, I don't know if this was coordinated. I don't think we'll ever know, maybe for a long time anyway, whether this was coordinated this way, but a horrifying thing to imagine. You respond, you've taken out what you think is the primary assailant, and then something subsequent happens when even more people are at risk. It's just, it's, Every day, I'm just glad you guys do what you do. I am really appreciative of you doing what you do. Mike, we always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
I do, and it's the practice of motorists flashing their headlights at other motorists, warning of police officers that are sitting on the road running radar. And is that against the law or not? And the answer to that is no. In fact, that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court, and they determine that it's an expression of it's an expression that's protected under free speech under the First Amendment. So the answer to that is it is legal to do that. Now, years and years ago, it was not in some states, and when they decided that it was legal to do so, a lot of officers booed that decision. And that's something that.
What did they sound like?
Boo!
Yeah, well, that's probably pretty close. We would have to agree with Johnson on that one. But
were they more uncertain about it? I mean, were they like not sure they disagreed?
Boo! Boo!
It never gets old.
So anyway, now we've got apps like Waze that let people know where law enforcement is. It's really not an issue for us. There are going to be people that are going to come by, anyway, exceeding the speed limit, which of course is a dangerous thing to do. So the best way to do it is just not speed, and you won't have to worry about where the officers are sitting.
You know what's making all three of us here in the studio laugh the best, though, is that's the closest I have ever come to watching or hearing you lose your composure. That's as close as I've ever seen it.
I'm fighting it. I can tell you that. I'm pinching my leg right now, so I'm doing my best here.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Okay.
All right. So, no, but this actually raises a question for me, because if the Supreme Court protects flashing your headlights as a form of speech, it's also true and worth remembering that honking your horn in anger is actually illegal, right?
That is true. So you can only honk your horn in the state of Florida if you're warning other motorists of a potential hazard. You can't just do it to wave at them or because you're upset with them. You have to warn them of a potential hazard. Now, the fact that they may have almost run into you or cut you off or something like that may be permitted, but laying on the horn, how sometimes people will do that, is a bit excessive. So every situation is going to get looked at and treated on its own merits.
So instead of honking your horn, just roll down the window and say,
"Oh."
Okay. I guess I need to go.
Mike Wood, he's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. You don't feel like I hosed you all today, though, do you? You that didn't happen?
No, not at all.
We're all good. All right.
I'm trying
good.
My best.
We'll just move on.
Voters just got hosed.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for the update. I know you'll never come on the show again. Good to talk to you. Have a great week and a good life. Have a good life. Oh, man, I love Mike so much. He's such a good sport. Also, I do want to let you know we had a follow-up later on yesterday morning that the person we said at the beginning that was still missing that was considered a risk to himself, he has been found and safely taken back into custody. So that's a very good news note to follow up on that very silly end of the interview. 5:48 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And, if you – oh, man, you seen the termites yet? Dude, every year, this time of year, you start to see them. And, of course, you see everything else because the whole world's coming to life. The lawns are coming to life and the insects are coming to life, and they are everywhere. So here's the thing. You need pest control. You need stuff that creeps through the lawn or flies through the air and comes to your house and tries to invade you and eat you out of house and home. NSEC, they identify, target, and eliminate common household pests like roaches, ants, fleas, rodents, termites with guaranteed results. Professionally trained technicians, they'll effectively eliminate the pests inside and outside your home and take steps to prevent other ones. You get a report, okay? They'll come out, they'll look at what you got, they'll take pictures, they'll send you a report of what you got, what they did, and what the result was. And, you know, they've got all kinds of things they can take care of, whether it's fire ants. They got a program that takes just one treatment and it's good for a full year of fire ant protection. Mosquito management, they take care of that. Monthly service to effectively reduce mosquito populations in your yard. For a limited time, new annual pest control customers get $50 off. Some restrictions do apply, so see NSEC for details. And you get $25 off a new fire ant contract if you sign up for that. So, and of course, estimates are free. So if you got issues, call NSEC. Find out what might be involved. ENSEC.net.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
For heaven's sake, no,
please. I
don't have to do that.
Doctor, please.
Medicine man not go near Dances with Stumpy. No.
This is just another strategic plan, and it's step one. We're going to come back with another piece of a renovation that will update the building, but it'll be one-fifth the price of what a new building would be. If we get to the point where we start asking for more or looking for more, you're going to wind up getting into building a new building. And by the time you run the design process and everything, you look at construction, that $300 million that Mobile's working on right now, that's going to turn into $500 million. Just because of escalation costs over the time, by the time we get the project off the ground. So yes, we would love more, but this is what we need. We're asking it just respectfully to get by with what we need.
Michael Capps, who runs the Bay Center for the county, talking yesterday at the county commission meeting about the $10 million ask out of tourism development tax money to get basic needed repairs to the Bay Center, which should show a discernible improvement immediately or almost immediately.
This renovates bricks and mortar. We've done the studies. We've done design. This is going to be actual things that people can see, touch, and feel. And
100%.
They'll see an improvement. So, graduations, hockey games, concerts, Sunbelt will see a difference.
Right away, and that's what we did with this $10 million, was strategic to lights, sound, parking lot, the chain link fence that's rusted. It's addressing eyesores that are on the outside of the building and on the inside. So it's an experiential thing, but it's also to represent the county in the best way possible that we can with the building. And then it's to provide a good experience for people coming in. So the lighting we're talking about is going to traditional sport lighting. So you can change colors and activate it with, you know, the hockey team, and it can dance with music and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely enhancing the experience, but then we're also going to get some operational cost savings with what some of these things that we're doing.
Okay, so, you know, both a benefit to the user and also a facilitation of the operation of things as well. Michael Capps talked a little bit about some of the ideas they had floated for modernizing the Bay Center. What would be your first thing to modernize the Bay Center, aside from blowing it up and starting from the... I mean, you know, it's the ramps outside, right? That horrible, long, just walking up for 100,000 miles, right?
About accessibility.
Yes. Now, we've talked about the ramps. To take those ramps out, that's where you get into a higher dollar amount. And the original... facility condition assessment, they came back with three options. There was one in there to take those ramps out and put in escalators and so forth, but that was in the $200 million range.
Uh-oh.
And so once you start doing a renovation at that size, you might as well build a new building.
It's not that hard to walk up a ramp. It's not $200 million hard to walk up a ramp. Also, they were talking about yesterday expanding the Ashton Brosnahan complex, they put that building out there and trying to kind of build that into a whole other facility, and that's going to be a part of the spend that they're looking to do with the tourism development tax, 5th cent money that's been coming in for several years. Interesting comment by Lumen May right in the middle of all of this that I don't know what to make of.
Well, and Commissioner Berry, I mean, we can't even, speak in public or we'd be indicted, but...
Indicted?
Yeah. Thursday.
Yep. Yeah, of course you will.
What now?
You have my full support. As I've seen the end of my season of service here, I'd like to get that done before we're gone.
For re-election.
So, if we don't get it moving, it will not be done when the both of us leave here, which,
right.
My site is very near. So anything we need to do to get that moving, I could be supportive. There's no question I wanted it in District 3, but it seems like District 5 is a better fit.
Was there an indictment yesterday that nobody told anybody about against the county commissioners? I mean, I don't know. If they're just on the one hand, it just sounds like idle joking talk. On the other hand, it's a very specific idle joking thing to say. And then for Stephen Barry to say, well, happy Thursday. I guess later on today I need to call the state attorney's office and be like, did something happen that we don't know about? Anyway, I don't think so, but who knows? 437-1620. Oh, Commissioner Bergosh took some time also in the meeting to explain that this money is coming from the 5th cent. That's the bed tax is in increments. It's 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent, 4 cent, 5 cents. And so there's we're at 5 cents, and saying that when he had pushed for that in order to fund things like the Bay Center, people opposed it. I do remember that the tourism industry here in Pensacola had very much opposed raising that because they said it would cost us visitors and vacationers. At the time, I thought it doesn't seem likely that people were going to go to Pensacola when they had to pay 4 cents on every $100, and then they weren't going to, or $4 on every $100, but they're not going to go when it's $5. Like, it didn't seem likely to me. So I didn't find a problem with raising that particular one, especially when neighboring counties were higher. But I do remember there being a lot of opposition. So I think he was right about remembering that and right about now there's a funding source, although it's not quite enough to take care of the Bay Center. Not really. It's enough to maybe, as he explained, to kind of bond it for the future because you got this $10 million plus. Maybe the income from the TDT will allow us to bond out bigger and more bold repairs or improvements. So, we'll see. Commissioner Bergosh just, always wants to make sure that they get credit for the things they do right because he feels like they never get credit for the things they do right. And I agree with him. They seem to have done that right, and it seems to be producing results. So, good. Well done. 5:58, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's some major flooding in parts of Texas. Mandatory evacuations being issued along a rising river near Houston. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo told residents along the East Fork of the San Jacinto River yesterday that they have to leave their homes before it gets worse. And over the next 2 days, officials there say it could rise high enough that the water touches the power lines. The IRS says they're planning to increase audits on large corporations and wealthy individuals. They've got nearly $80 billion in new funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. That money, they say, will be used to crank up the number of audits on corporations with assets of more than $250 million and people with income of more than $10
million. All right. Thanks so much, David. 437-1620 is my text line. Somebody here says, who does the county own, or who owns the Bay Center? I said it's Escambia County. Why does the county have to make the repairs? Again, it's their facility. They do own it. Somebody else says, Bergosh yesterday was in full campaign mode. Oh, yeah, no. These commissioners are terrified about not getting reelected.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.